How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on best places to work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, sans Vaisan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans. And we are, of course, fine purveyors of data-driven employer branding insights. Today, we're talking to an American multinational manufacturer of confectionery, pet food, and other food products, and a provider of animal care services. Yep, we're going to learn to drive brand consistency, creating a sense of belonging for employer reputation leaders and advocates, exciting business leaders about employer reputation, and managing those internal stakeholders. Very important topic. So let's start the show. Hey, Kirsten, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Jorgen.
So who are you and what do you do?
So I am Global Employer Reputation Manager at Mars. My name is Kirsten Bethmann, and I'm based in Northern Germany, but actually I operate in a very truly global role. In my role, I'm responsible for bringing our employer value proposition and our creative to life across the world. And I'm basically defining the strategy on how to become one of the most attractive employers in the world.
Wow, very exciting. Okay, so Mars. Now, many people know that the chocolate bar, the planet, but what is Mars as a company? There's lots more to it.
Usually what comes to mind is the Mars chocolate bar. And then probably people think about M&M's, Snickers or Twix. But Mars is really much more than that. We are a family-owned business, what not many people know. We have the Mars family as our leaders on the top. And we have more than 25,000 associates in over 80 countries and actually make annual net sales of over $35 billion. And there's much more than chocolate to Mars. So we operate in four different segments, most obviously, of course, confectionery, but there's more than chocolate to it. So we are also the company behind, for example, Wrigley's Extra, Five Gum, Eclipse, so there are many gum brands in it. We have the food segment, which is mostly known for our brand Ben's Original, but also other food brands. And we have Mars Edge, who strive to provide targeted nutrition solutions. The biggest segment, however, is Mars Pet Care, what not many people know about. We own some of the most loved pet care brands, such as Whiskers, Royal Canin, Shiba, Pedigree. But also we provide medical care to our fur friends. With our veterinary services business. So we actually are the company behind hospital chains such as Banfield, VCA, or Blue Pearl. And this is something not many people are aware of, but it's the biggest part of our business.
Well, I've just mentioned on this podcast, previous episode, we're about to get a puppy at the Sundberg household, and we've already been sent the Royal Canin sort of starter kit with some food and instructions and everything, which is from the Mars Corporation. Great. What's the talent challenge for Mars as an employer?
Well, clearly, our biggest challenge is awareness. While people love our consumer brands and they know them, not many people know that we are the company behind that. So we are sometimes asked if we might belong to another company or something. But of course, we are not. So the biggest challenge is to make people aware that we exist, that Mars is a huge global international company that really takes good care of their people and wants to make a better world for tomorrow. So we have made the experience that once candidates get to know us, they usually want to join and they want to be part of Mars and want to meet those amazing people. But the first step of being aware that we have exciting jobs, not only for marketeers, but also for finance, for sales, for engineers, is something we still have to really a long way to go. We have a long way to go to show our candidates that there's much more than marketing jobs at Mars.
Yeah, absolutely. And are there any particular roles or personas or functions that you're always on the lookout for great talent?
I mean, clearly we are looking for great new joiners, student graduates. So we have a lot of opportunities for early talents to join as interns, to join our graduate programs, our leadership development programs. So this is something where there are many options for young people and people after university to join. But also, for example, we have a huge R&D business. We focus a lot on science and technology. So there are many opportunities for R&D folks to join. Clearly, sales is a very important and also exciting area of the business. So we're looking for people who are really out there to convince our end consumer to buy our products. But also, I would say engineering and operations is something very exciting, where we have many opportunities.
Gosh, okay, so it sounds like there's something for everyone at MUST. Tell us about your employer brand strategy. So how did it come about, and what's the setup now, and what's the, you know, what are the plans for the next few years?
So we focus on four main areas in our employer brand strategy. We look to execute our brand in a brilliant way on a global level. We aim to win at social and digital, as we know this is where we meet our candidates and potential candidates. Associate advocacy is another part where we focus more on having our associates as the face and the voice of our organization and advocate for our brand. And then, of course, we want to integrate this everywhere and not just in specific countries or markets, but really have our employer brand shining across the world in all our different segments and areas.
Wow. What is the function? How does it lay out? You say you work in a global role. Do you have counterparts in other parts of the world? Or what does it look like?
That's actually very exciting. So we're a small global team. We are just a team of 3 to 5 people who build our employer brand, build the strategies, and make sure this is brought to life consistently. But then we have our employer reputation community, how we call them, with people across the globe who are responsible for employer reputation in their market. So, for example, the Americas, Europe, Russia, or China have their own teams with the head of employer reputation and then a couple of people within their teams who bring this to life. But then there are also smaller markets who might have someone being a recruiter or corporate affairs specialist who are also taking care of employer reputation. So this is very decentralized and different in every market. And what we aim to do is build a strong community so that everyone can learn from each other, challenge each other, and really support each other to bring to life our brand. So this is really a key learning for us. You cannot do it alone. You need everyone in the markets and they need you. And this is how we aim to do it at MARS, as a team, as friends, with a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Employee reputation, how is that different to employer brand, if at all?
For us, it's broader, actually, because a brand, it almost comes from the outside. You define a brand and you show how you want that to be positioned to the external world. For employer reputation, we have looked at internal research. We understood what our associates feel is important about MARS. What do they feel makes us different from other companies? Why do they love working at MARS? And we use this to build our employer reputation externally. So we feel it's wider and it's the truth of who we are. Instead of putting a brand on something and trying to sell it, and we really want to show who we are and then really build the reputation from the inside out.
So you talk about driving brand consistency in a global decentralized organization. I'm wondering, what are some of the deviations of the brand? And do you have a framework where you allow perhaps one region or one country to focus more on certain parts of the employer brand? Or can you give any examples?
Yes, so brand consistency really is a big challenge because, of course, you want your brand to look the same across the world. And also you want to enable your market to really make the best because they are the expert. They know what works in their market. So it all starts with clear guidelines. So if you have clear brand guidelines, what colors to use, what's the messaging, and so on, this is really key to success. And this is something that we have created and we make it available very easily. We have a one-stop shop platform where people find our brand guidelines and learn how to use it. So we are quite strict on how to do that. However, there's a lot you can do with our brand. So when it comes to messaging, we have the 3 pillars of our EVP, which are people, purpose, and development. But also you can target to a specific audience. So when you talk to R&D talent, there might be a particular messaging in one of these pillars that you want to show them. Whereas maybe with sales talent, you focus on something different. We use a lot of imagery. We only use imagery of our associates. So it's all photos of people we work with and who work at Mars. But of course, every market is able to show those associates who are really working in their market to bring this to life in a more consistent way. And also we show our brand square. So we show our consumer brands in our campaign because we know people recognize them. And of course, markets have the freedom to choose the ones who are most popular in the market to make sure that also a consumer connects with it and might become a candidate in the future.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So sort of the consumer brand versus employer brand. Are there certain countries that rely more heavily on using, I don't know, chocolate bars or cat food in their advertising, or is it across the board?
Well, I mean, one thing we've learned is that you cannot just use your consumer brand to bring your employer brand to life, because we have some of the most loved consumer brands. But of course, M&Ms are loved for the great M&M characters. But that doesn't mean we all work with M&M characters in the real world. It's one of our chocolate brands. So we still want to make sure that what we transport is true to our EVP and what the experience would be when you join Mars. However, we've seen some markets being very successful in collaborating with our marketing teams to bring something to life. So for example, you can use one of the brands and make a contest with your candidates to come up with a strategy or come up with ideas for a specific brand. So if in one market there's, I don't know, one chocolate brand or one pet care brand very successful, they might do collaboration with those brands to bring it to life.
Nice. Okay. My final question around the strategy before we move on to your EVP is really about the employee reputation. How do you get business leaders excited about this? And, you know, how do you manage your internal stakeholders? Because, you know, we find across the board that senior leaders, they have so many priorities, and sales is probably the first one, and cost being number two. But how do you get employee brand or employee reputation into on the C-suite agenda?
One very important thing is to have a clear goal. And we have a strong vision within our team, which is to become one of the most attractive employers in the world by 2025. And this vision has been signed off by our senior leaders. So we all align that this is something we want to achieve. So this is the first step in really gaining your stakeholder support. But of course, then there's much more to really keeping that support and consistently having the support that we need to bring employer reputation to life. One very important thing is data and insights. So you need facts and figures to understand how well is your employer brand established, where are the gaps that you need to fill. So we are looking a lot at different stats and different measurements to understand where we are staying and where we might need support to bring something to life. And then it's consistent stakeholder management, so really being in contact, making them your ambassadors, keeping them in the loop. What are the different strategies that you bring to life? What are the different strategies that we have just launched or that we need sign off for? But also, what are the campaigns that we are launching so that they come the ambassadors? They are the first ones to like our campaigns and to see the impact that we are having with those. So it's a combination really of looking at data and insights, but also enthusiasm and making people excited about what we do.
Great. That measurement piece is music to my ears. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's turn to the EVP. You already mentioned people, purpose, development. But can you talk us through the EVP, the brand structure and the pillars?
Sure. Happy to do that. So our EVP was established with a lot of research. We went really into the emotional factors, what it means to work at Mars, what makes us excited, why do we stay as associates, and why do we love working here? So it's all based on research. And we have identified those three pillars of people, purpose, and development that go hand in hand. And we know those three make people come and stay and grow with Mars. We have a tagline, which is "Your tomorrow starts today." And that is closely linked to our overall Mars brand and to our overall purpose. And we feel this is very important. These need to be aligned. They cannot go in isolation, but need to go hand in hand. So we have our overall Mars purpose of the world we want tomorrow starts with how you do business today. And we have transported that to our candidates. So for them, it means Your Tomorrow Starts Today. As an associate, my tomorrow starts today. And by working at Mars, I can make this come to life. So this is why we've chosen this tagline as a call to action, but also as a reminder for us as associates that we can really make the difference and we are all here to make a difference. So this is something very exciting, how we've combined our corporate brand with our employer brand.
Yeah, I love that. So great example. Okay. And out of these three pillars, these themes, people, purpose, and development, is there one that seems to resonate the most with talent?
It's hard to choose between one of them. I think the one that comes to life internally, the strongest, is probably development, because you really do get a lot of development opportunities. You learn on the fly, basically, why you have your job. We have a clear plan on how to learn, which is 70% you learn on your job, 20% you learn from others by a mentor, for example, or a coach, or your line manager, and 10% you get from training. So we even have our own university, which we call Mars University, where we get a lot of online and in-person courses and opportunities to learn and grow. So this is for the internal side. Probably externally, what comes to life a lot is people, because it's just different to work at Mars. It's like working with friends and having fun together, where we still strive to have excellent quality and really we strive to be the best. But the people is hopefully something that our candidates see when they meet us on first sight.
Very interesting. Cause I would have thought internally would be the people, and from the outside, development. As in most people, candidates from the outside, they go, okay, well, I can further my career if I join. But then when you start, then you realize there's great people there. So yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you can probably take it the other way around as well. probably we are so used to the great people at Mars that we aim to see the development opportunities a lot internally. But probably you can also take it the other way around.
Yeah, fair point. So you've got the strategy in place, you've got the EVP. How do you go about activating the employer brand of Mars?
We have a lot of ongoing activities. So we have a lot of social and digital activations throughout the year with our own social and digital channels, but also something like programmatic. So we are out there with many different social and digital strategies that we bring to life. But also we aim to focus on 3 to 4 major campaigns each year that attract candidates for a specific target audience or for a specific topic. So there are 2 campaigns we are very proud of for 2020. One is our Mars Insiders. It's a campaign for early talent, so for students and graduates who want to join Mars. And it brings to life our very own associates. So we have several Mars Insiders who are actively, like at the moment, doing an internship or part of one of our leadership experience programs. And they are active on Instagram or Weibo in China and talk about their life at Mars and talk about their daily challenges, their daily excitement, their daily experiences, and let our audiences know what it's really like to work at Mars. So this is something where we've worked with Associate Advocacy to bring, yeah, the really Mars spirit and Mars feeling to life. So the Mars Insiders is really one very exciting campaign. The other one is our first ever big global awareness campaign called Mars Journeys. And it's a campaign that we aim to drive awareness for Mars in general. So the target group is quite broad for this one. It's brought to life in 9 different languages. The first time we've done something as big as this in employer reputation. And it's all about learning about those big milestones that we all have in our lives that shape the world of tomorrow. And we highlight many associates who tell their stories of what was the moment that changed their life at Mars, which could be a personal highlight, something like one of our associates joining an LGBT movement at Mars and being very strong a leader in that space for Mars, or someone else who transferred to another country and started working from there and really made this great experience. So we highlight associate stories about those moments that changed their tomorrow. And at the same time, we tell the Mars history. So there's a lot out there for people to learn about the history of Mars, what happened in what decade, what happened in a specific year, to understand how our company has grown and become to who we are today.
Nice. And are there any particular hashtags you use for your campaigns so our listeners can check them out?
Yes. So it's hashtag Mars Insiders for the Insiders campaign and hashtag Mars Journeys for the Mars Journey campaign. So please check it out. I hope you like it. Go on the time capsule for our Mars Journeys campaign and skim through the world of Mars and get to know our associates. I hope you'll be having fun.
And I also wanted to check in. You mentioned that you're getting your stakeholders, sort of your ambassadors, involved with your social activation as well. How does that work technically? Is there an email or is there an intranet? Or do you do calls with them first to give them heads up and ask them to please get engaged?
There's more to come on this topic, actually. So in some countries, we have very active, for example, WhatsApp groups or something where people just share their comments and engage each other and, just encourage each other to post something on social and digital. And we have different groups of associates who support us. Then we have the Mars Insiders group, who are a dedicated group to talk about Mars as employer. But actually next year, we are starting a new phase for our associate advocacy strategy. So there's more to come backed up by technology that we will be doing next year to drive people being active.
Oh, okay, nice. We'll have to do a follow-up episode. Great. Okay, so let's move on to the data and insights piece that you mentioned. How do you go about measuring the employer brand, all the activity and the journey you're on?
We put a very strong focus on data and insights at Mars and in our employer reputation team in particular, because we do know this is the one way to really understand where we are standing with employer reputation and how we can best improve. So we have many, many different measurements in place for different campaigns, for different strategies. One of the overall measurements that we are using is the Employer Brand Index. We've been using it since the beginning of 2020, quarterly reports that we are gaining. And this is really something that shows us the overall performance of our employer brand. So we understand, in comparison to other companies, in which areas are we strong, in which areas maybe other companies are stronger than we are. And it's all about understanding what do our associates and what do our candidates and what do our alumni talk about Mars in the external social and digital world. So it's all publicly available data, basically, that is getting analyzed. But for us, the best way to really understand what do people find when they watch out for who is Mars as employer, they find those stories that are being told on Glassdoor, on Instagram, on Facebook, by associates, by candidates and alumni.
Have you found any feedback from the Employer Brand Index that you've been able to sort of steer the conversation or maybe change up your campaigns or initiatives and focus on any specific attributes?
The first insight we gained is a true understanding in which categories we are strong and which one we aren't. The good thing was is that it's showing us that our EVP is still relevant and it's still people, purpose and development. What really drives our employer reputation, where we are very strong. But it also helped us to, for example, understand the areas where our actions as a company might lead to confusion or how that might be perceived by some of our associates. So I think, for example, we've learned about the IND space and how people perceive being themselves at Mars as something that is strong. But we've also learned where the elements where we can pick up as a company and improve even further. So I think the Employer Brand Index has really helped us a lot to understand all the different focus areas. We have involved many different stakeholder groups in the Employer Brand Index because we feel there's much more in it than just insights for our employer reputation. But it clearly shows that us how many different areas have an impact on our employer reputation. And this is how we use the measurement internally for our stakeholder management. We get in contact with our peers, for example, who take care of health and well-being or IND or rewards. And we go through the data with him and analyze together what impact do their area have on our employer reputation. Where are we very strong at? What can we really focus on even more in the future? And what are the areas where we might have to improve? So it really helps us to get our stakeholders in the mindset of changing our employer reputation, driving our employer reputation, all of us together.
That's fantastic. That's the perfect application of the Employer Brand Index. Great. Okay. So Kirsten, have you got any top tips for other employer brand professionals listening to this episode right now?
I do. I think one thing is really building a strong team of employer brand ambassadors within your organization and create a team spirit, support each other and learn from each other. Because employer reputation can be lonesome if you're the only person in your market being responsible for it. So if you get everyone globally together and build a strong team, whether there's a reporting line in place or not, this can really help you to be successful. Then I would say use data and insights. You need this to understand your strengths and improvement areas, but also to gain trust and support from the leadership teams and also long-term investment for employer branding. And the last thing is never forget the stakeholder management. We have so many touch points in employer reputation, which could be talent acquisition, communications, the consumer brand, or the different functions. You need to understand their needs and how they can leverage employer reputation to be successful. So make sure you are in contact constantly with your stakeholders, keep them in the loop and listen to them.
Amen. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Okay. So Kirsten, I can tell you're very passionate about the role that you do and the company that you work for. What is it that makes your job so special?
It's clearly the people, and probably this shows our EVP again, but I love the people I work with. I have a very strong and passionate line manager and very strong and passionate teammates. And this is really something that keeps me engaged every day. We get the support and friendship within our teams, and this really makes me get up every day. And in the end, I have contact with many different people from across the world. So in the mornings, I might have a call with my colleagues from China, and in the evenings with my calls from Brazil or from the US. And this is something that makes me very, very passionate and very, very happy, because I learn how different and how similar the world is at the same time, and learn about the different cultures and the different objectives that they have.
Right. So my final question is, where can our listeners connect with you, Kirsten? And also, where can they learn more about Mars?
To connect with me, please come on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn and would love to connect with you and get into conversations about employer branding. For Mars in general, I would strongly recommend to follow our Mars Careers channels on Instagram, LinkedIn and Facebook. And also have a look on our website, mars.com/careers, to really find out more about our company.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jorgen.
Okay, that is it, folks. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like Kirsten and Mars's strategic approach to employer brand and how they involve a wider community inside the business to spread the message. That's really how it should be done. So be sure to reach out to Kirsten on LinkedIn and other places. We'll put a link in the show notes to her, and thank you her ever so much for sharing her insights. Right, so you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Apple, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and all the usual places. And if you really enjoy this episode and all the series in general, then feel free to please leave a review on one of the platforms. Now, are you looking for a way to measure your employer brand and or reputation? Just like Kirsten and our friends at Mars, you may want to check out the Employer Brand Index. This is LinkHuman's approach to getting data-driven insights from candidates, employees, and alumni all about your employer brand. So we do this over time to see how the 16 attributes that make up employer brand, how they move. And we can, of course, break this down by country, state, region, city, and of course, by all their talent personas or job functions and many other filters. And hey, to make it more interesting, why not throw in a few talent competitors to get some inspiration as well? So that's the Employer Brand Index. Feel free to get in touch with me or check out employerbrandindex.co to learn more. All right, that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
Live every day, it could be your last.